Amen. Before you take a seat, if I could ask if everyone could please move towards the center of the sanctuary. We still have people who are trying to make their way in. So if you could move towards the center, that'll leave the seats on the outside for those who are still joining us. Thank you. Well, good morning. My name is Ryan Narasaki. I'm one of the elders here at Lighthouse. And I want to extend a warm welcome to everyone, but especially those who are joining us to see their family members and friends go through the waters of baptism. This is a special day in the life of our church as we celebrate with the four people who are going to be baptized. Now, many organizations, schools, and clubs have special events to commemorate new members, special events, or significant achievements. If you think about new students in the healthcare field, they often go through a white coat ceremony. For the Olympic Games, the opening is signified by the lighting of the flame. For the scouts, when those scouts reach the rank of Eagle Scout, they have a special court of honor. My troop, the one that I grew up in a long time ago, had some informal rituals too. Probably my favorite was the special title we gave as the older scouts to the first-year scouts. And that title was somebody, as in somebody, go get me a soda, or somebody, go set up the tent. And that way, the older boys didn't have to do it, and the little guys had to do all the work. Well, in the church, baptism is one of the sacraments, one of the rituals that we celebrate. And as a person goes into the waters of baptism, they are publicly declaring that they are a follower of Jesus Christ. I'd like to start out this morning by asking you a question. What is the most amazing transformation you've ever seen? What is the most amazing transformation you've ever seen? Now, maybe you think about a home in your neighborhood and it's fallen into disrepair. The paint is chipping off. There's weeds all over the garden. The fence is starting to fall over. And then a new owner comes and they redo the yard, right? They redo the stucco and paint it. They put a new garage door on and then they gut the inside and everything's brand new. And it's just amazing how that transformation takes place. One time here in children's ministry, we got to see an amazing example of transformation and creation. For one of the activities, we gave each of the kids a silkworm, and they took home the caterpillar, and then over time, it built a cocoon, went in there, and then about 2 weeks later, it emerged, right, as a moth. And so the kids got to see the transformation from caterpillar to moth. Or maybe you've seen transformation in people's lives. Maybe this is you, or you know someone, they're really out of shape, and then there's some sort of health event that happens, and suddenly they're exercising, right? They're jogging, they're running marathons before you know it. You see this amazing transformation in their health. Or maybe you know someone who had an addiction, and they really struggled, and it really ate them up, but they found victory over that addiction, and it's just amazing to see their new life. Some of you know, some of you can relate to a person who, it's just amazing that they're even alive, like they could hardly take care of themselves, and then all of a sudden they find themselves caring for others. I think my mom is still amazed because obviously she knows me, and some of you know her, she's a member here, but she's amazed that she actually sees her grandkids here at church, like with their teeth brushed or their clothes clean, especially when my wife's out of town. Although I do have to admit, one of my kids at church here when I was rushing to leave and had to come back and pick them up. So I'm still working on that transformation. Well, it's amazing to see a person go through a transformation, especially when it's for their good. And when we see these transformations, I think we want to know what enabled this transformation to happen. Well, today we're going to hear about four lives that have been transformed as we hear from Casey and Maylene and Kevin and Caitlin through their testimonies. And their testimony is their story, their account of what God has done in their lives and how they came to place their faith in Jesus Christ. We're going to hear how God graciously worked in each of their hearts and often through struggles, through the pandemic, through broken relationships, through both mental and physical challenges that they faced, but how it caused them to turn to God and to rely on Him. We're also going to see from God's Word how we're transformed. And today we're going to be looking at a passage that shows us how God works in our lives. So if you have your Bibles, please open with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to focus on verses 13 and 14. This is the word of the Lord. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. This morning, our key idea is that God transforms Christians by bringing them from death to life. God transforms Christians by bringing them from death to life. I hope we can appreciate this, how clear this passage is. It's just brutally honest in telling us where we stand. If we look at verse 13, it says, we are dead, or we were dead. Now, the Apostle Paul here obviously wasn't saying that they were physically dead, because dead people couldn't read his letter. What Paul is referring to here is their spiritual state, right? The people in Colossae who received this letter and all of us are dead spiritually. And this word dead here in the text, it specifically carries the idea of condemnation. Because of the wrong things we have done, and that's what the Apostle Paul means when he writes of our trespasses and the uncircumcision of our flesh, we are all deserving of eternal condemnation. Why is this? Well, in the Bible, we learn that God created everything. And as our creator, God established the rules for how we are to live so that we might enjoy him, how we might love others, and we might glorify him. But mankind was quick to break God's rules. We're all failures when it comes to living up to God's perfect standard. And this is what's called sin. Every person is a sinner. And sin ruins our relationship with God and our relationship with one another. Sin is the reason the world's so messed up. It's why people commit crimes against one another. It's why we see wars happening in several parts of the world right now. It's the reason why this world is so filled with hate. Even worse than the consequences of sin that we see in daily life are the eternal consequences it has. All who have sinned are condemned to eternal punishment in hell. As the creator of the universe, God is also the judge of the universe, and he cannot allow sin to go unpunished, for that would be unjust. That is the bad news, but the Bible also gives us good news. If we look at verse 13 again, we read, "And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive." There's a change, a makeover, a transformation that we see here. This is a transformation with eternal implications. It's no small thing. I hope we can fully appreciate what's going on here. This is a transformation that saves us from hell and promises heaven. Now, this is not a change that we can carry out ourselves. We can't do it on our own. Who's doing the work according to this verse? We see that God is the one who makes alive. And who is it that he makes alive? Paul writes at the beginning of verse 13, "and you." Now, who are the you that he's referring to? If we go all the way back to verse 6, we can see that Paul is writing to those who've received Christ Jesus. So Paul is writing to Christians when he says, "you have been made alive." If God didn't intervene, there is nothing we can do to save ourselves. We cannot earn God's forgiveness. We cannot undo all the wrongs we have done by trying to do right things. God is not going to add up the wrong things we've done and the good things we've done and see which stack has more. We were dead in our trespasses, and we could not save ourselves. And this is why we need a Savior. Every single one of us needs a Savior. Since every person is guilty of their own sin, God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. Jesus, being fully God and having lived a perfect life, was able to die for your sins and for my sins because he did not sin. Jesus died on what we celebrate as Good Friday, and then he rose from the grave 3 days later on Easter. And in doing this, he defeated sin as he came back to life. Jesus satisfied God's requirements for sin by paying the penalty on the cross. Because Jesus paid the penalty, God has forgiven us all our trespasses. Jesus' death didn't cover just the small sins. He died for all of them. Our passage is perfectly clear that all of our trespasses, all of our sins are forgiven. It's so important that we understand the gravity of what this means. If you're not a Christian and you've been holding back from pursuing Jesus because you feel like your life is just too messed up, right? You could never come to Jesus with what you've done in the past. I hope that seeing the truth of this verse will change your heart. There is nothing that is too dark, nothing that is too unspeakable that can keep us from Christ. The Bible promises that if we will come to Jesus and confess our sins, we will be forgiven, every single one of them. One commentator, a professor, writes of this verse, "The forgiveness that we enjoy in Christ is total. All our sins are forgiven." It doesn't matter how bad you think they are. Failed relationships, immorality, hatred, even murder. All these will be forgiven if we are in Christ. If we look at verse 14, it says that this forgiveness comes from God canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This idea of a record of debt, it's what a person owes. It's a spiritual IOU, if you will. So I was thinking about an example, and this IOU is kind of like a credit card statement, right, with all the charges that for showing what you spent. So think about your credit card bill, right? What did you buy this month? You probably bought some groceries, maybe something from Amazon, some gas, medical bills, right? Now imagine that this bill just kept growing and growing. As you charge more, as the interest accrues, it's impossible to pay this bill off. But then someone pays it in full for you. Wouldn't that be amazing? How would it feel right now if somebody paid off your credit card or your student loan or your car or your mortgage? Right? How would you feel? Now, don't get your hopes up too much. We're not filming like a special edition of Candid Camera. No one here is going to walk away with their credit card paid off. But we actually get something better. Our spiritual IOU, the one that we owe to God, that list of every single wrong that you've done, that I've done, it's going to be canceled. It's going to be forgiven if you come to Christ. That anger that you have towards your kids, your spouse, that person who cut you off on the freeway, maybe the lust of your eyes, the things you've looked at on the computer or watched on TV, all those things are forgiven when we come to Christ. I think about the struggle that you feel most guilty about right now. Maybe it was on the way to church. Maybe you were yelling at your kids. Maybe you were just angry at your spouse, maybe a coworker, right? That is forgiven. That IOU is canceled. That debt has been paid. And I pray that we would give thanks to God for this amazing transformation in our life. This forgiveness is for all who come to Christ. But I also want to remind us who are already in Christ that it's for us too. If you're a Christian, I pray that this truth would be just as powerful, just as special to you right now as it is to the person who's realizing it for the very first time. Becoming a Christian doesn't mean we're going to live sin-free lives. We all continue to struggle. In some of the testimonies, we'll hear how people struggle after coming to Christ. And I appreciate the transparency because it's true of all of us, although hopefully we sin less and less over time. But those sins that we commit, they are forgiven too, the ones in the future. So we can be thankful for the debt that has been paid. One encouragement that we frequently try to give from the pulpit here at Lighthouse is to preach the gospel to yourself every day. And as we do that, we continually remind ourselves that we who are in Christ are dependent on the gospel and to continue to look to Christ for forgiveness because we will struggle. But our sins are forgiven. We don't need to live in guilt. We have been set free. Our passage concludes by telling us how our spiritual IOU was canceled. God canceled our debt by nailing our spiritual IOU to the cross. The Apostle Peter, he also tells us something similar in his letter. In 1 Peter 2:24, he wrote, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree," that is the cross, "that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." Sin must be punished, and God the Father placed my sin and your sin on his only Son as he hung on the cross. Jesus took the punishment that you and I deserve. This is why dead people can be made alive. The sin that made us dead was dealt with completely on the cross. This is why Jesus is our Savior. This is why the cross is so important. This is why Casey and Maylene and Kevin and Caitlin are going to be baptized today to publicly declare that they believe Jesus died for their sins. If you have never confessed your sins to God and asked for forgiveness, I pray that you will consider the hope that the Bible promises here. Jesus died so that you could be forgiven. Jesus died so that your relationship with God could be restored. You do not have to clean up your act first to come to Jesus. There's nothing that any of us can do to earn God's favor. The Bible says that we are saved by grace. Grace is an undeserved gift. God is not looking for good people to save. We are all sinners in his eyes and saved by grace. Now, if being forgiven of our sins were the only outcome of coming to Christ, that would be more than enough. But there are so many more blessings we experience in being transformed and coming to Christ. If you look around this room, this sanctuary, right, we're the body of Christ. God has blessed us to be a part of one another's lives that we can go through life together. The Christian life is not one that's meant to be lived alone. We're called to gather here on Sundays to worship, to be a part of one another's lives through fellowship groups for the youth or the college or the empty nesters, to meet together for Bible study, to fellowship through sports and play dates and heavy meals together. And that is one of the blessings of coming to Christ. If you'd like to know more about what it means to be a Christian, can I encourage you to come speak to me after the service or to meet with one of our pastors after this? We'll have coffee with a pastor out in the foyer. Some of our pastors will be there, and they'd be happy to talk to you. Or speak to the friend who brought you here to church, because they would love to share Christ with you. Well, we're going to wrap up here so that we can move on to the baptisms. And as we do that, I want to remind you that these four are making a public declaration because they are a follower of Jesus Christ. Their action in the baptismal is a reflection of what's already taken place in their heart, which has been transformed. When they are baptized, they're going to go into the water, under the water, and they're symbolically entering the tomb with Jesus Christ and taking their sin with them. And as they emerge out of the water, it's symbolic of their resurrection, their defeat of sin. As we witness that, may we remember that God transforms Christians by bringing the dead to life. Will you please pray with me? God, we thank you for this morning and for the grace that you've shown these four baptismal candidates in bringing them from death to life. God, we thank you that all who place their faith in Jesus Christ will be forgiven, that spiritual IOU will be canceled, and our relationship with you can be restored. God, we give you glory for this. We give you thanks for these four lives in particular. May you be honored in these baptisms. In Christ's name we pray, amen.
Hi, my name is Casey Spencer, and this is my testimony. I grew up in a Christian household, and I've gone to church for about as long as I can remember. I grew up knowing God as the creator of the universe and as the master of our hearts, but I didn't grasp the significance of that for a long time. Like so many others, my life was centered around school, athletics, and just having fun with my friends. Though I did have Christian friends, the home church that my family attended was very far away, so it was hard for me to become close with Christian friends at that church, since the only time I saw them was on Sunday mornings. My parents took me to local youth groups, but it wasn't the same as having a strong group of friends that I would grow closer to every day. I didn't mind being alone at church, so it didn't bother me too much, but it left a problem that would continue to grow over the years. The first time I felt like I truly understood the weight of my sins was in middle school at a church camp. I committed myself to God and promised that I would do my best to turn away from my sins. However, I soon started to drift away from God due to isolation and lack of community. I had aged out of the local youth group I had been attending, and I used my commitment to athletics as an excuse to avoid getting involved in another youth group. I outwardly confessed myself as a Christian, but inwardly I felt as though it wasn't true. Skipping forward again, one thing led to another, and I found myself with my family at Lighthouse, and we were there hoping for a closer connection to where we lived. We explored and loved the sense of community in the Church of Lighthouse, so we all began attending. After a few months of attending, COVID hit the world and everything stopped. Personally, I was more isolated than ever. I was also struggling with a lot of anxieties about things like school, to the point where I generally avoided doing my work and lied to my friends and family about how I was doing. However, my girlfriend, Caitlin, was asking questions about the gospel. I had recently introduced it to her, and her questions left me self-reflecting. After going through some difficult times with my own personal mental health, I turned to God again and asked him for help. I recognized that my sin was against God, the creator of the universe, and that it was the root of a lot of my issues. I knew that this was the exact reason that Jesus had died on the cross, to save us from our sins. I asked him to become a part of me and my life and to forgive me for my sins. I am eternally thankful to have Christ in my life. My struggle with my various sins is still ongoing. However, I do my best to thrive in this wonderful community. I know that my walk with God has been easier with my brothers and sisters in Christ to support and care for me on my journey. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Maylene Taw, and I'm excited to share my testimony with you guys today. I am blessed to be born into a Christian family. While growing up, my parents instilled a biblical worldview, and I was constantly surrounded by the body of Christ from a very young age. I went to church every week, from the songs and Bible lessons and crafts in nursery and Sunday school, to Sunday worship service and youth group here at Lighthouse on Friday nights. I have also been involved in BSF, or Bible Study Fellowship, since preschool, where I studied the Bible with other youth on Monday nights. Being actively involved in several church programs provided me with strong biblical teaching and Christian mentors and friends who have shepherded me and encouraged me in my walk with Christ. However, although I clearly knew who Christ was and what he had done on the cross, I did not have a very personal relationship with him, and he was not Lord over my heart. I was homeschooled by my mom throughout elementary school, which sheltered me from some of the worldly influences and temptations that I might have encountered at a public school setting. I was a pretty good kid who obeyed my parents most of the time, but my faith was immature and not deeply rooted. When I transitioned to public school starting in sixth grade, my priorities started to change. I found my joy and fulfillment in my academic achievements, having lots of friends, and gaining approval from others. I thought I was fine and felt like my life was under control. My heart became complacent and I was comfortable with it. I started putting my academics first and quit Monday night Bible study and would sometimes skip out on Friday night youth groups, saying that I had too much schoolwork. I did not have a strong desire to know God or to pursue a personal relationship with Him. It wasn't until later in high school that I began to understand my daily need for God. During these last 2 years, God put a lot of trials in my life. During my junior year, I was adjusting to keeping up with online school, could not participate in normal activities due to COVID, and was sad that I could not see my friends. But through the pandemic, God removed things that used to take my time away from Him. With the free time I was given, I rejoined Monday night Bible study thanks to my mom's encouragement. I also read the book, This Changes Everything, How the Gospel Transforms the Teen Years by Jacquel Crow, which my small group leader had given to me for eighth grade promotion, but I had never taken the time to read. Throughout high school, I had been given many coveted leadership positions, such as ASB president, NHS president, and varsity golf co-captain. But senior year was probably the hardest year of my life. I was excited to be named my school's homecoming queen, but I didn't expect to encounter problems with people who I thought were true friends because of it. Because of jealousy, people spread a lot of hurtful, unfounded rumors about me. I lost a lot of friendships and felt sad, lonely, and mistreated. I struggled to navigate situations with friends at school. I tried my best to love others and act honorably with integrity despite unprovoked hostility. I experienced what it's like to share in the persecution of my Lord Jesus Christ. Thankfully, I was able to share these trials and confidence with a few close friends from youth group, as well as my youth group leader and discipler. My parents constantly prayed with me and for me. It was also during this time I was stressed out with college applications, However, God used this time to challenge me to prepare my heart to trust him with my future for each of my acceptances and rejections. As I filled out applications to some Christian colleges, such as Biola or the Master's University, I was also forced to evaluate my own faith, and it prompted me to want to get baptized to proclaim my faith to everyone around me. This year was full of trials I had never faced before. Honestly, I never thought I would have to face situations like these, since my life was always pretty smooth. But God used this time of pain and suffering to bring me closer to him and to trust him for peace, comfort, wisdom, and strength. I know that the gospel not only saves me from my sins, but also results in a transformed heart, a heart that loves the things that God loves and hates the sin that he hates. I know that this doesn't happen instantaneously, but is a process of gradual repentance as I realize how lost I was on my own and how much I am in need of his grace. Experiencing God's love for myself cultivates in me a renewed heart that looks to love others, seeks wisdom, and shows mercy. I can have courage and experience true joy. When I encounter temptations or suffering, I depend on God for his help and protection instead of relying on my own strength. When I fall short and sin, I confess my sin to God and repent. I know God's character as loving, just, holy, and gracious, which allows me to live my life striving to trust and obey him faithfully. I know God will continue to sanctify me as I continue to pursue him. This fall, I will be going to college at UCLA, living away from home on my own, and making my own decisions. I know that in college I will meet new situations, new people, and encounter various temptations and distractions competing for my time and attention. But I want to continue to grow in God's word and my walk with him. I am excited to see how God will mature me and use me for his glory in my next season of life. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. I'm Kevin Yama, and I'm going to be sharing my testimony. My journey with Christ has been long, difficult, but I think time and time again I've realized that despite all the hardship that came with that came throughout it, I could not have gotten to where I am without him. My family initially found the faith when my brother's curiosity led him to the Bible, so I was able to grow up in a Christian home. However, I never truly understood what it meant and was only really following in the footsteps of my family. This came to be tested for the first time when I went on my first youth retreat with Lighthouse. My advisor, Matt, had sat me down and helped me put the piece of the gospel together, and I just remember crying because I couldn't comprehend the reason or power behind God's love and how it could be given to someone like me who had turned from him time and time again. That was just the beginning of my journey, though. I continued to grow into youth group here alongside my friends and built a foundation of what it meant to know God. But even though I knew I was growing, I don't think I was growing for anyone but myself. I pursued Christ not because I truly wanted to, but because it was all I'd ever known. I struggled with doubt and insecurity, and I felt like I was trying to hold together everything in my life, but without God. In my sophomore year of college, I met my first girlfriend. I had always struggled with self-esteem issues, and when I finally faced my first breakup, I just shattered. I was too scared to let go, and in turn, I only ended up hurting the people around me more. Most importantly, however, I ended up turning against God, blaming him for the pain I was feeling, and lying to myself in order to justify my hateful thoughts. I kept telling myself that God was never there. I was unable to comprehend that a God who supposedly loved me so much could also hurt me in this way. However, while this was the greatest pain I've gone through, ended up being the most necessary, God took me down to the depths to truly show me how powerless I am and to show me how much I need him. I was able to talk to people in leadership on campus and learn the lessons I had needed for the longest time. I learned how to let go of my own desires and the things I thought I needed and to place them in God's hands. One thing I remember being told from that first youth retreat was that I had all the pieces of the gospel, but I had never put them together, and I think that statement had stayed true until this point. I was finally able to call my relationship with God my own, and while I still have my struggles and my doubts, I can be assured in Christ and the new identity he has given me. I have been humbled and torn down time and time again, but each time God has used those moments to reveal himself to me, and I find myself eternally grateful for how he has saved me. Thank you.
Hi, and good morning, Lighthouse. My name is Caitlin O'Connor, and I am excited to tell you my story of how I came to Christ. I did not grow up Christian, and God was seldom spoken of in my household. Until October of 2020, I had spent most of my life believing that there was a distant God somewhere out there that I could occasionally pray to. I had not yet fully comprehended who Jesus was and why I should care. I believed that everyone was good and that most people should go to heaven if they had good morals. This started to change when I met my first Christian friend and later to be boyfriend, Casey, and his family. I had a strong curiosity about God and Jesus, and Casey answered my questions to the best of his biblical knowledge. His family began taking me to Lighthouse when I was in town from college, and I began to listen to Pastor Kim's sermons and hear more about Jesus. The curiosity would fade when I went back to school in Pennsylvania, where I would have a rigorous academic and swim career as a Division I athlete and physician assistant student. School and swim were all I knew for 11 consecutive years. I had very strict coaches who wanted to build character through hard physical work, perfect attendance, and eating healthy. I looked up to my coaches so much, it became an obsession to please them. I developed slight body dysmorphia and restricted my eating in fear of looking unathletic. I cared what everyone thought of me, and at times I saw myself as above everyone else. I believed no one works harder than me. My worth was primarily in what others thought of me and how well I succeeded. And to be completely honest, I was not very happy. Throughout college, I learned to idolize these things less, but I still did not know Jesus. I began to understand the gravity of what Jesus does in our lives around October of 2020. During this time, I began having episodes of extreme tiredness, shortness of breath, and chest pain that significantly interfered with swimming and studying. I was eventually hospitalized and was found to be having small heart attacks. I was very scared, and I was out of school and out of swimming, and I was unsure if I would be able to ever attend either of these ever again. And then I started to pray to God, and I asked for his comfort, and I pray that he would keep me alive. I then started to pray, and instead of angrily asking and questioning God why he let my health falter, I felt Jesus meet me in my suffering and in my weakness. I felt grateful to be temporarily relieved of the rigors of school and swimming, and I quietly meditated on previous sermons that I could remember. I then made the connection that school and swimming are my idols and that I cannot receive continuous joy from them apart from Christ. Idolizing swimming, school, and coaches resulted in pride, selfishness, and jealousy, which hurt myself and my family. I was then humbled by Jesus and came to fully comprehend that my life and my talents are not truly my own, but rather gifts to be used to serve others. I asked God to forgive me of my sins, and then I understood the significance of Jesus dying on the cross. Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, died on the cross for me. God loves us so much, and he wants to be a part of our lives. He created us so that we can have a relationship with him. He is not a distant, angry God. Rather, he is forgiving, patient, gentle, and ever-present in our lives. He knows us better than anyone else because he created us. He is in complete control, worthy of our trust. I am not perfect, and my life will be a continuous walk towards becoming more like Christ. I am to love my friends, my family, and my new church family as Christ would. By the grace of God, In my vulnerability, God also used my best friends, Amelia, Jackie, Rebecca, Mia, Casey, and my mom to support me through my health issues. That was a separate blessing in itself, to allow yourself to be vulnerable and ask for help. By the grace of God, I have received a diagnosis for my condition and received the appropriate treatment so that I can enjoy hiking, swimming, and going to the gym. Through God, I am able to participate in and enjoy these activities and practice as a physician assistant. Praise God, thank you, and God bless you.